Let's turn to that passage that we read together, Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to preach on the second coming of Christ tonight and want to remind the congregation that the King is coming, and it's something that we ought to keep upon our minds and hearts in these days. Jesus is coming again. And we're taking for our text, I was reading this chapter just the other day and was greatly stirred in my own heart as I read it. Verse 15. It's the words of Christ, and he says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." We're apt to forget this glorious and marvelous event. The King is coming. The wickedness of the world, the coldness of our hearts, the slothfulness of our spirits, the ignorance of our minds, and the busyness of our schedules and the idleness of our service make us negligent when it comes to the coming of Jesus Christ. Here is a reality that we must not forget. Our blessed and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming again. He who came the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself is coming again. He's coming the second time without sin unto salvation. I wonder, have you lost sight of this reality? Do you think often about the return of Christ? Do you look for him? Because that's what the Bible exhorts us to do. I quoted that verse from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Here's the full text. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Are you looking for him, dear child of God, tonight? Are you looking for that day in which he will come? Or have you lost sight of it? It's the very same thought that is taken up by the Savior in our text tonight, isn't it? Verse 15, where he says, "I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth." Are you watching? He speaks about it here. Now, the setting of our text is in the midst of mysterious visions given to the beloved John, who is able by these visions to see into the future, the end times, and particularly here, the second advent of Jesus Christ. The judgments of God are about to fall upon a world of sin and depravity in the pouring out of the seven last plagues. The seven last plagues are introduced in the previous chapter. You just need to look at the opening verse of chapter 15. "I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." What a day this is going to be. A dreadful day. Seven angels are given seven vials or bowls, and these bowls are filled with the wrath of God, and they're going to be poured out upon this earth. A day of indignation and wrath and judgment. A graphic description of the angels pouring out their vials of wrath is recorded in the chapter 16. This chapter that we've read tonight. We read of a most grievous sore being poured upon those which had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image, as the first angel pours out his vial. The second judgment has a devastating effect upon the sea. It becomes like the blood of a dead man, and every soul in the sea died. The third angel pours out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, which also become blood. And it is at this moment that the angel of the waters, as he is called, is moved to cry, "Thou art righteous, O Lord." And from the heavens above, another angel is heard to cry, confirming this, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." These judgments that are being poured out right at the end of time, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, just those minutes beforehand, they are righteous judgments. They're coming from a holy God who will pour his wrath upon the ungodly. The wrath of the fourth angel has a profound effect upon the sun and was given power to scorch men with great heat, a foretaste of what hell is going to be like. And even such fiery indignation and judgment, they repented not. You think about it. This wrath being poured out, men being burned with great heat. What do? They blaspheme God. Such is the hardness of their heart. And they fail to repent. The vial of the fifth angel overthrows the authority of the beast, whose kingdom becomes full of darkness. And we are told that they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And still they repented not. Pity those that are found among them in all their hardness, impenitence, and rejection on that day. The sixth angel is associated with the great river Euphrates, which, when the vial of wrath is poured out, it dries up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. We're talking here about Armageddon. Sometimes been called the Battle of Armageddon. There is going to be a great battle, this final great battle, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Armageddon is the assembly point. The battle's not happening there, but the assembly of the armies and the kings of all that region around the Mediterranean, all those armies, they're assembling together in Armageddon, and they're going to march. And march against the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem will be taken. And then at that moment, Jesus Christ will come in defense of his people. What a day that will be. The seventh angel comes in the cycle of the wrath and indignation, and a voice is heard from the throne room of heaven, "It is done." And this majestic, solemn cry is accompanied by voices, thunders, lightnings, and a great earthquake. It's in the midst of all this phenomena observed in John's vision, between the sixth and the seventh vial being poured out, that there comes this mighty cry from the lips of the Savior himself in the words of our text tonight, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." I'm asking the question tonight, are you living in the light of this day? Are you watching for the return of the Savior in expectation of his return? Are you keeping your garments unspotted from this present evil world? Alas, if men were honest, such thoughts are far from their mind. And they do not walk in the course of this life the way that our Savior expects us to. No, it's the age of coldness, isn't it, beloved? The love of many, not a minority of God's people, the love of many. And Jesus was speaking about his church. He says, shall wax cold. The coldness of the age. We're living in that day where the spirit of Laodicea is upon the church of Jesus Christ. It's the lukewarm spirit. And of course, we know this. We know this by the way men live, by the way they talk, by the way they behave, by the way they conduct their affairs on earth. Oh, they may be religious and they may be churchgoers. They may be filled with spiritual exercises and activity. They may even defend or profess to be defenders of the faith, but they're not living in the light of this great day. Is it not true? Am I not right in what I'm saying this evening? When was the last time that you thought seriously upon these things? When was the last time that you meditated upon the Lord's coming again? When was the last time that you were awakened in your soul and in your heart about eternal matters, eternity? The vast majority are just rushing merrily along in the tide of earthly activity and concerns. And you know it's true to say, God is not in their thoughts, and the returning Savior is far from their minds. And I'm including the vast Christian population throughout the world here when I speak. So taken up with their little kingdom, with their little palace, with their little business, with their little affairs, with petty matters, that they forget the King is coming. I think it's time that we wakened up to Bible truth. It's time that we wakened up to the reality of these vials of wrath which are going to be poured out without measure and without mercy upon this world one day very soon. Need to kind of get a hold of the thunders here, the voices, the thunders, the lightnings, and the great earthquake. We need to be shaken up as the Lord's people. Soon the day of God will come. And soon the day that God has given us will end. And life will cease. And Jesus will return with power and great glory. How will it be with you? Do these things trouble you? Do they concern you at all? Would you be happy if Jesus came tonight, right now? Would you be happy? I'm not saying that Jesus is coming right now. But I am saying that's the way that he wants you to live, as if he's coming right now. Would you be happy if he did? You're living in the way that you want to be found when Jesus comes. What about you, poor sinner? You're not ready at all. And you will meet the full wrath of an angry God, as we have described to us tonight in this chapter. Preparation needs to be made if you're not saved. And I trust by the grace of God you'll make it tonight. And I would go further to say the changes need to be made in all of our lives in the light of what we've read, in the light of the coming of our Savior. The King is coming. And I just want to deal with the text very simply tonight. I want, first of all, to remind you that he's coming. I want you to think about the sureness of his coming. Jesus says here, "Behold, I come." It's the Lord that's speaking. Our text is stamped with divine authority. It is the one who speaks here, and nobody else ever spoke like him. Now, the Bible is full of declarations and promises about this day. And of course, all such declarations are the words of God. They are the pronouncements of the eternal word of Jesus Christ, who by the Spirit of God wrote the Bible in its entirety. But there are those unmistakable proclamations from his lips, from the one who is very God of very God in the person of the Son. And the Father says, "Hear ye him." You want to hear what Jesus says about his coming? Christ has given his word. It cannot fail. One of the most outstanding sermons that Jesus ever preached, as you know, was a sermon about his coming again. It was preached not long before the cross, just a matter of days, spanning over the two chapters in Matthew's Gospel, 24 and 25. A sermon given in answer to a question. question asked by the disciples as they sat there amidst the olive trees. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Tell us, they pleaded with the Lord, when shall these things be? And my friends, in 93 infallible verses of Scripture, Jesus sets before them his coming again. Tells them about the spirit of that age in which he shall return. You know the chapter well, don't you? Wars. Nation rising against kingdom. Famines. Pestilences. Earthquakes. An age of deception and falsehood. Sorrow and suffering. An age of betrayal. Persecution. And great tribulation, such as has never been witnessed before or will ever be witnessed again. It's not a pleasant picture, those days preceding the king's return. And as soon as the tribulation is ended, a great darkness descends upon this world, and supernatural signs pervade the heavens. We read about it in that Sermon of Christ. We read about it in what we have turned to this evening. In Revelation 16. And then, declares Christ in his great sermon, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And the angels are sent out into the four corners of the earth to gather in the people of God from one end of the heaven to the other end of the heaven. And I tell you this, it's an awful day. As I read the Lord's sermon, I want to remind you tonight that it is an awful day of separation. If there's one thing that is emphasized through that whole message that he preached, it's separation. Separation. We read about it in the chapter 24, but you come to the application in chapter 25 and the three parables that the Lord related. And those parables are all teaching the same thing. When Jesus comes, there's going to be separation. The wise virgins are separated from the foolish. The slothful servants are separated from those who used their talents wisely and employed them in the service of the king. The sheep and the goats are going to be separated on that great day. I've often pondered my Savior's words. I've thought about the scene that he presents to us in that sermon when the door is shut. I'm sure you've thought about it yourself. And those two awful cries that are heard, one that is from the outside of the door, as they cry out with every fiber of their being, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the other cry that's from the inside of the door, I know you not, makes me tremble when I think of this day. What an awful day. Oh, the king is coming. And those of you who die in your sin, unprepared, unforgiven, unpardoned, will hear words that will echo throughout the caverns of the damned for all eternity. Words that make me tremble. Every time I think about them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to hear those words. You hear those words, my friend, depart, you're damned. Damned forever. I think of the night before the cross. Jesus is sitting at the table with his disciples. Their hearts are heavy and sad, for soon the Lord must go away, not only to the awful death of the cross where he will suffer, bleed, and die for his people, but he would go away back to glory. He would ascend into heaven itself to ease their burden and lighten the weight. The Lord gave them words of reassurance and comfort as he speaks of his Father's house of many mansions. You remember what he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The king is coming. And Jesus is saying here in our text, I come. Behold, I come. It's absolutely sure and certain. One of these days, the trumpet shall sound. The voice of the archangel will be heard. And the Lord shall shout as he descends from heaven. And I wonder tonight, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the king? The sureness of it. I want you to think about the unexpectedness of his coming. Do you notice how he describes it here in this text amidst all the phenomena of the vials of wrath being poured upon the earth, just as Jesus is coming again? He describes it as a thief. The coming of Christ is described in this way on a number of occasions throughout the Scriptures. We have referred to that great sermon in Matthew 24. And in verse 43, he uses the description there. Know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The whole context is the coming of Christ. And the thought here is coming like a thief. You'll be familiar with the words of the great apostle as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 and there in the second verse. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We think of what Peter had to say using the same analogy. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The thought is also expressed in Revelation 3 and verse 3, as the Lord was writing to one of the churches, and here we have it again in our text of Scripture in Revelation 16 and verse 15. The king is coming. And he's coming as a thief. Not in the bad sense that sometimes we think about. In fact, like the Lord described a thief on one occasion who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the usual manner in which the thief comes. Though I must remind you that Jesus is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God. He will usher in everlasting destruction for the ungodly. But the term thief that is used here is used to describe the suddenness, the unexpectedness of Christ's return when we least expect it. That is another characteristic of a thief. Thieves do not announce that they are coming. They do not inform those people whose houses they're going to plunder that they're coming. They do not make an appointment. No, the thief comes when you're not looking, when you're not watching, when you're not expecting it, and often when you're sleeping in the dead of night. He comes to plunder. And he does so suddenly. He does so unexpectedly, without warning. We have mentioned already in Matthew 24 how the Lord said, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If you knew that a thief was coming to your home tonight, I don't think you would go to bed. If you were expecting his coming, if you knew that he was coming, you would sit up, you would watch, you would look out, you would make preparation, you would be diligent in an extra way. And you'd probably get some kind of defenses put up. Make sure that your doors were bolted, and maybe even make sure there were people with you if the thief was coming. You'd make preparation. But you see, that's not the way the thief comes. The coming of Jesus will be like this, he says. It will be sudden. It will be surprising. It will be swift. No warning will be given in advance. And that was the very point that the Lord was making in the sermon that he preached that we have referred to in Matthew 24. You needn't turn to it, but I want you to listen to part of the sermon that we have from verse 36 of Matthew 24 onwards. Jesus says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So already, borrowing from the history of the Old Testament and the days of Noah and the awful judgment that came upon this world when the Lord destroyed this world in the flood, the Lord is teaching already, he's coming without warning. As it was in Noah's day, so shall it also be when I come again. Life will be going on as normal. People will be doing those normal things in life. That's what they did back in Noah's time. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they knew not that the flood was coming. They were not aware of it. Jesus says, that's how it's going to be when I come back again. And then he goes on to say, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The suddenness of it, the unexpectedness of it. And it leads me on to my third point, my final point tonight. And it is in our text, Revelation 16, verse 15, the watchfulness for his coming. We are to watch. This is what Jesus says. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed, happy is he that watcheth, keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We read those words in Matthew 24. And the Lord uses two words that are very important. He uses the word watch in verse 42. And he uses the word be ready in verse 44. That's how we are to wait for the coming of the Lord. We are to be watchful. And my friends, if you're not saved tonight, you're to be ready. And God's people are to be ready and prepared for that day. The faithful and the wise servant is living in the light of that day. He's busy for the Lord. His Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Wonder, are you up and doing? It's the same thought brought out by Paul when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But he went on to emphasize, brethren, that day should not overtake you as a thief. And the Lord is coming like a thief. Suddenly, unexpectedly, without warning. In an hour when you think not. But the apostle is saying to the Lord's people who are walking aright with God, it shouldn't come to you in that fashion like a thief. Why? Because you're watching for it. You're waiting for it. You're looking for that day. You are the children of light. You've got understanding. And so he cautioned the church at Thessalonica, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, vigilant. Isn't this exactly what our Lord is teaching in our text tonight? Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The true Christian needs to be watching. Watching against sin. Watching against the lusts of the flesh. Watching against the cares of life. Watching against the enemy. The great enemies of the soul. We're not to be ignorant. No. Not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We've thought about this already in prayer, in the prayer meetings today. The activity of the devil in these last days. The devil who knows that he has a short time. I wonder tonight, do you live as wisely as the devil? Do you know that you have but a short time? Satan does. There's just a little space that is granted before the coming of the Lord, before the pouring out of the divine wrath of God upon this world. And Satan is aware about that. And he knows that his time is limited. And therefore, all hell is let loose against the church of Jesus Christ. And the devil is seeking to devour the people of God. He's seeking to destroy the testimony of the church. We have got to be watchful concerning these things. Blessed. And you know the word is happy. Is he that watcheth. He's waiting. He's looking. He's longing for the coming of Christ. And he's ready. Ready to enter into the marriage and to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because that's how he's living. And he keeps his garments unspotted from the world. Whatever would defile him as a Christian and make his clothing dirty and impure, he keeps himself from it. You and I that are saved tonight, we're covered. We're covered in the robe of righteousness. We're covered in the garments of salvation. Nothing can take that away from us. But I tell you, as you live in this world, you can defile your garments outwardly. We need to keep short accounts with God. We need to guard against our words and our ways. We need to be living in the light of that day, watching. We need to be putting things right where things need to be put right. Need to be living as if Jesus is coming right now. Because that's what God expects of us. And that's what Christ expects of you and I tonight. And that is the pathway to true happiness and joy. Because blessed is the man that's watching for that day. Now some of you tonight in this meeting, you're not ready at all for this coming. You're still in your sin. You're still under the wrath of God. You're condemned already. You will face an angry God one day. And something of what we've read tonight in this 16th chapter of the book of Revelation is telling us about this angry God who will pour his wrath upon the world. And we know that for all of God's eternity, the wrath of God will be poured out without measure in hell itself. For those who die without the Lord. And so the sermon tonight ought to awaken you up to you, bring you to a realization of your need of Christ. Do not die in your sin. Do not depart this life and meet with Christ unready. You need a covering for your sinful nakedness. You need the robe of righteousness that I've mentioned. You need to be clothed with the best robe. It's the robe that was woven at the cross of Calvary and all the doing and the dying of the dear Son of God when he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, covered and clothed in his righteousness, and therefore ready for the great day be found in him. The King is coming. He is. Are you living in the light of that day, dear Christian? And for those who are not saved, is it not time that you made preparation for that day and got right with God, came to Christ? Let us pray.